Just for all those which are new in the country, there's a bunch here, right? There's a few, at least a few. So when it snows in Yerushalayim, the city shuts down. There's no, the college is closed, everything's closed, no buses, nothing. No rakevet, klum doesn't work, and you hope you have electricity at home. So I'm just preparing you, so it's supposed to snow this week. Gather up on your food, all the things.
So get plenty of thermal.
Don't plan on traveling anywhere on Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday and Thursday. Oh, and be careful. It's very, very slippery.
Very slippery, and they don't know how to take care of it.
And nobody knows how to drive it.
It's a chaos. Last year,
only the Russians.
Disaster.
So
there's almost no, and snow tires, snow chains are almost unknown.
It doesn't snow so much. And you know, in Efrat last year, there were geniuses. They hose down the road, so at night. Right? You were there, you saw it. Like this, everything was ice, of course.
And they don't want snow, they don't want salt trucks on it.
It's like Kfar Etzion, they were afraid.
They know, but not some places. They were in Kfar Etzion,
yeah? They were afraid that the snow on top of the roof of the factory, that the roof would collapse. So they tried to melt it by hosing snow and hosing water on it.
Everything caved in. If it was.
Get plenty of thermals, plenty of hot cocoa.
Yeah, because last year it was people didn't have electricity for 5 days, in some places.
Yep.
For 5 days, no electricity, it was freezing cold, and everything, including Shabbos. My tenants in Tzfat, they told me they put on the gas left.
Yeah.
That was their heater for 3 days.
Yeah,
okay. So. Even the gas stove there?
Yeah, froze.
Oh, the gas froze.
Yeah.
Oh, and the water lines may break.
Right, you have to turn on the kids will prepare yourself well. Tzedakah. Now we're learning about tzedakah, so if anyone is having a tzedakah.
Oh, and be sure you get your favorite cat.
A mitzvah v'chiyuvah. There's a mitzvah to do tzedakah. Awesome. So, let's see what tzedakah is. In English, they call it something, right? But no, it's something else. That's something else. I don't know what that is. We say tzedakah. We do a mitzvah of tzedakah. Mitzvah, taseh, tzedakah, tzedakah, la'anim. So, there's a pasuk, Shulchan Aruch, the pasuk, you teach that, there's a mitzvah, taseh, to give tzedakah to the poor. Shenemar, ki yevecha evyon. Right? You have a poor person in your city, in one of your places. Patoch, tiftach et yedcha, lo, open your hands. Kitzu, and the other psukim, the teachers, they have to give tzedakah. So they're right on. So we're going to say in general, and then we're going to go into the details. Aroi ani nevakesh, if someone sees a poor person who's asking for tzedakah, ve'elim enav mimenu, and he ignores him, ve'lo natan lo tzedakah, he didn't give him tzedakah, over ve'lo ta'aseh, he's over on a lav, shneemar, it says in the pasuk, lo ta'amet et levavcha, ve'lo tikpoz etcha, v'achira evyon. Okay, it says the pasuk that he not a hold back from the Yevon. So what do you do when you're down in the shtiblach? There's 100 people coming over every second. Okay, what do you do in the shtiblach? You have a lot of people coming in. They're all needy. I'm sure they're all needy. I'm sure they're not stam. This person marrying off his children. This person is sick. This person is dead. All kinds of things. So you can hold also 30 agrots in your pocket and give them 30 agrot. You don't have to give it. So we'll see soon the halachot. But try to give.
Is he saying you have to give someone?
If you have. If you need the money because you have to give your wife and your kids before them, so you have to give your wife and kids before they come before everyone. We'll see soon the details. Just in general, I said, what's to give everyone? Now we'll see the details. Atzdakah, achad min hayesodot shaleihem omed haolam. Atzdakah is one of the foundations that the world is standing on, like we say. Okay? And then Mishnah in Avot. Okay? Shlosha dvarim haolam omed. The world stands at three things, on Torah, on Avodah, and on Gemilut Chasadim, which is Tzedakah. V'hi gdola, afilu min haTorah. Tzedakah is higher than learning Torah. Wow, I found something which is higher than learning Torah.
But
the
Duth is
not a court, no? But the Duth is not either. Now, there's all kinds of levels in Tzedakah. The highest level is
anonymous.
Right. Matan Basetel, that you don't know who you're giving to, and the person who's getting doesn't know who he got from. That's the highest. Then there's lower levels which you don't know who you're giving, but he doesn't know where he's getting from. There's all kinds of levels. We'll see all the levels
What's that? I'm supporting the debt.
What's that?
Supporting the debt, even though it's not tzedakah, it's still a high level of tzedakah.
It's gemilus chesedim, yeah. It's chesed shel emes. It's the highest level of chesed. Because it's chesed without any waiting for reward. We just learned it in the parsha where Yaakov Avinu asked Yosef, "Asita imadi chesed emet al natik bereni mitzrayim." So now I'm always bringing the midrash that this is chesed shel emet. This is really called chesed shel emet because he's not waiting for any reward. Ani amashkim. רגע, סליחה. הצדקה סימן הכר זה הראש של אברהם. Yeah, טוב. If someone gives zakah, it proves that he's a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And mechaperet avon kekorban. It's instead of a korban, like we know in the fast day, we give zakah. It's instead of a korbanot. If it's tshuva, you give zakah. וכתוב, it says also, אין ישראל נגלים אלא בזכות הצדקה. כן? It says in the pasuk, tell it to Konani, the geula of Am Yisrael will come because we give tzedakah. Gadol ha-sachar matriv ha-osef tzedakah yoter mi-sachar noten. Now someone who goes and collects tzedakah for causes, you know, for a family or for chnasat kalav, whatever it is, okay? It's higher than the person who's actually giving the money. Gadol ha-maaseh yoter mi-na-oseh. The person who causes others to give, he's doing a bigger mitzvah than the one who's actually giving. So a person who doesn't have any money to give tzedakah, so go around and collect money to give whoever needs tzedakah. Because then you ask tzedakah in a higher mitzvah, then you start giving tzedakah.
What if he's taking a percentage of it?
Even if he takes a percentage. You're allowed to take a percentage. We'll see soon the halachot, like how much you're allowed to take. It's a good job.
A lot.
It has to be arranged in advance, or it seems like
it has to be arranged.
It has to be arranged. It's like what percentage is.
I mean, yeah. What do you mean? If you could also
you can't take down 50%. You have to tell the people it's going to collect for you and take.
No, don't tell people because people know that you, if someone's collecting zakah, if he tells for himself,
it's for others.
So what do you mean? He's working for free.
Oh. Is that really the assumption? I mean, I never thought that I was doing that. Like, if people really, as a general thing, people assume that if they're collecting for someone else, they're taking a cut.
I'll tell you an example. If you give tzedakah to Mosdot Kever Achel, okay? Yeah. I give them tzedakah sometimes. I give tzedakah them. Good. I know what the money is going to. It's going to the Avrichim. But they have an office, right? In the office, they have some ladies working there in the computers. And they have the mankal, the owner of the place. He's also taking money. So I want my money to go to Avrichim. Yeah, but part of it also has to go to the organization. For whatever they're doing. It's not that they...
Operational cost.
It's not like it's someone stealing. And also there's certain people which... that they're professional in that. They know how to get a lot of money out of people. Yeah. There's certain people who have a lot of money. They know how to get it out of them. So the yeshiva is very happy to give them a lot of money. Why not? They're holding the yeshiva. So yeah, when someone goes and collects for someone else... Yeah. You could assume a lot of times that they're taking their percentage off, and you should be happy for that. Why not?
Also, drivers take money.
The driver takes money. Why not? He's telling you where to go. It depends how much they take and what the deal is. But so, ani amashkim lepeta asur leachzir panav rikam. If it's ani that comes to the door. To send him away without giving him anything. And even if you just give a few agarot, if you give him something, it's so true. When someone comes to the door anyways, you feel more need to give him more. I always give more if people come to my door. It's different than the shtibla. The shtibla people come, right? And if you have nothing to give at all, so at least show him a nice face, a nice smile, you know.
There's small communities that have instructions to send the person who comes to the rab of the community.
Right.
And if he approves it, then you give money.
100%, because they had a lot of problems with people which are liars.
How is the person?
So you go to the rab checks who you are, and he gives you a tzetel.
There's people in Muncie that are not, they walk around with... look like they're religious, but they're not Jewish.
Okay. I asked Rav Teichner once, asked if Shimon Teichner wants to give up the best. I know. It says you have to give tzedakah to Ani Agun, to Ani, which is fit to give him tzedakah. I don't know who's Ani Agun. I asked him once. He said, listen, if you're not sure, give him something. And have in mind that, because the problem is that if you give tzedakah to Ani, which is not Agun, he's not a good Ani, it destroys all the world, the whole thing, the Kutim Aran, Abdeni, right? So I asked him, what do I do? It's a big problem, right? How could he know? So he said, you give whatever, you give something. You have to give something. But have in mind that if it's not false, you stop giving a gift. If you're not sure about what it is and who the person is, give him a little amount and don't have in mind, I stop.
If you know, Matana. You don't have to give, right?
If you know he's a ganav?
Yeah, or the ganav, you know.
If you know he's a ganav, you don't give him anything. If you know.
No, like all the people at the hotel. By the hotel.
Yeah.
The stairs and stuff. No. And there's one person who sits like by the burger bar and stuff. I would say never give. Like that person is a momish, a crook, and like, you know, doesn't need. And all the other people, they bought apartments for their children in the old city, like from their money. I mean, like, they're like millionaires. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
If you know, good. I don't know anything.
There's those used for drink or drugs.
Yeah, those are drugs. Fine, but.
Thing is, you don't know.
I don't know. One second, what
do you say? I'm sure some of the people need the money.
Exactly, so if you don't know, you know, give something. If you want to know what the Kotel will give, I'll tell you who he has to give. There's a guy who sits right at the entrance of the Kotel, Yerushalmi with a white beard. You give him. I give him all the time. Yeah, he sits on the right. All right. And there's a blind man on the left. Right? Obviously they're needy, but the white beard is not collecting for himself. Collecting for all Yerushalayim beside him. Yeah, with the white beard. He's famous, he's known. Even the police don't throw him out. If you know, you know. If you don't know, so give something and have in mind that it's matana. Okay, now, you don't have to open the door in front of everyone who knocks on your door. Especially if the woman's at home. I tell my wife, if someone knocks with tzedakah, you tell them they're not home. No. You never know. There's all kinds of stories I don't want to talk about. Never know. If the woman's at home alone, keep the door locked. Okay? If someone knocks on the door, Bali Lava Bait. Many times when I'm not fatsa, and they knock on the doors, and they say, Bali Lava Bait. 100%. They spend 100%. I usually used to leave them a CD, like, into the door.
Maybe it's a better idea for her not to say anything.
Right. She goes, they're not
anything. If there's only a woman in there, maybe you get a good idea.
Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. 100%.
You don't have to answer them.
Yeah, you don't have to answer either.
They believe you're not home.
Go to Seda. Top. If you meet an Ani on the way, in the Shtiblach, they come, they walk around, stand there, you're not obligated to give each and every one. Of course, it's a great thing. Says that, very nice. But you're not obligated to give anyone who comes to you, towards you. Says that? It's a good thing to do. You're not obligated. If it comes to your door, you're obligated to give. That's still not to give.
Somebody told me that I shouldn't tell them that I don't have it, because that's lying. If I have, I'll just say I don't have to stack up. I don't
you can also do that.
Yeah.
That means anything you want. Davenik.
Anyway.
Yeah, you don't have? Maybe you have in your pocket. It's a lie. That's what he's saying. You can't say any if you do have.
You can say, I don't have charity.
Stop.
I run extra to give.
Okay. If someone is collecting tzedakah and then he comes again and will give me, and he says, I just gave you. Don't start yelling at him. Okay.
What about when they sometimes it's happened where like you give somebody, let's say, like, you know, small amount. It's like, oh, I don't want it, it's so tiny. Like you throw it on the floor, it's like, you don't have to give it again then, right? Like,
nope. No problem.
What happens if you give and then when you come back, he's still there, he asks you again.
You tell him I gave you.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And like, because all
like this.
Yeah. Say I just gave you.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay.
It became a business to collect stuff.
It's a good business. You'll make a lot more than that work.
Work, yeah.
Not really work.
Some people, certainly, you have to know what you're doing.
Sorry, just to get clear on the thing, if people come to me on the street, you don't?
You don't have to give. You're not obligated to give. You could give. You should give. Why not? But if someone comes to your door, you have to give him. That's the difference between the two. Top. Now, if someone receives to his house a personal letter, not a letter that goes to the whole city, a personal letter with your name because they know you. Not that they know you because you exist. They know who you are. And they ask you for a certain zakah, for a certain thing. It's as if he came to your door and you should make an effort to give them. Usually most of the letters, it's a general letter. Like, it doesn't have your name and that stuff. But if it's...
But even with your name, it'd be a form letter.
Right. If it's with it's not a name because you're on their list, so it's not a personal letter. Okay.
Phone call that you get each year from the same people. Twice a year.
Maybe it's as if they came to your door.
Except that about a month ago, Ben Seal Musafi said that a lot of the phone, and there are many, several, whatever, he said a good number of the phone call Shnuel's phones are fakers.
Yeah, but sometimes it's organizations that you know. Yeah, but sometimes it's organizations that you know.
The question is this organization or somebody stealing the name of the organization?
You don't Who know. Are you? What are you?
Somebody could say that you're a Kevin Rachel, but it's really some
private person.
Some private Daniv who's using the same Kevin Rachel, and he's taking your credit card number.
And you never know what he's going to do with it.
So you're worried about that.
Yeah. Please don't give out your credit card for anybody.
Yeah.
I keep mine outside my door, speak, but just use it. You know.
But I tell these people, if you're simple, I can't give you a credit card, but somebody can come to the door, I can give them some money. Up to now, only one has done that.
Nowadays, much easier, but that
one was hard. Yeah, that's the best thing to do. They call you, tell you, if you come to my house, they'll give you.
Normally, what we would do is we'd send a letter, and in the envelope, you'd have the information, they'd fill out the information for a credit card. Or else they would put money in or check into the envelope and mail it back. Mm-hmm. So we give them the option of either way. Mm-hmm. Or they could actually drop by.
Is it better to give to a person or to an organization?
It depends on the organization and it depends on the person.
Can't tell you.
It says to give family comes before everything.
We'll see soon the level, yeah, who we give first. So, who's obligated in the mitzvah? Every man is obligated, man, woman obligated in this mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Even an ani, someone who's poor, who's collecting, he's also obligated in giving tzedakah. Okay? To give others. Yishan nesua en lekabel mimena. Oh, it's very important halacha. En lekabel mimena yitzdaka el eskum wad shal yud nashim amadar atel boto makom yitzdaka. Yedua shbala amokher asu la tekabel mimena afil eskum koshu benemeneti lomar shemaskim. Now, if you go, we know this from Hafatzah, we go around, right? And even if someone wants a book, doesn't want something, we say, give tzedakah for Hafatzah, we're going around, pay for the gas, pay for whatever we need here. Give something for tzedakah. And the woman takes out now 500 shekels and gives, 100 shekels and gives. It's something
substantial.
Yeah, it's not usual. Usually, what do they give? 10 shekels, 20 shekels. How much do they give? Okay, not more than that. And they give you something, it's a woman. If she's a married woman, you're not allowed to take. It's more than normal for in that area. You're not allowed to take from her. Why? So maybe your husband doesn't agree. A normal amount of money, your husband will agree.
Right.
And if you know the husband doesn't agree, even for a normal amount, you can't take. But if she just gives, you could take. Yeah, you don't have to ask if does your husband agree. But if it's more than a normal amount, and for that area, so you're not allowed to take from her. It's more gezel,
because of what?
Because maybe her husband doesn't agree. It's not her money. A woman doesn't own money. Her money, her husband manages, owns the money. So if it's more than normal, you can't just take it from her. Unless her husband, you know that her husband is agrees.
She's that whole private source of money.
Could be, but you don't know that. If she's a married woman.
How do you know she's married the first day? Well, her hair's covered.
You mentioned like gas money. So like if somebody's collecting money for somebody, can they take the money for transportation costs?
Yeah. Depends on the percentage.
Out,
we'll see soon.
Out,
we'll see soon the halachas of how you collect money. What do you mean? I married off my sister. I married off. I collected a lot of money for my sister's wedding, so when I didn't take percentage. I didn't work for a whole month. I took a certain amount. I asked permission from my parents if that's okay. I made a whole wedding for them. Done. Yeah. If a woman says, but don't tell my husband I gave, so he definitely can't take it. There's a few cases where a person could take money from a lady, a married woman. Aleph, if she's the business lady, she's managing the money in the house. So then, if you know that she manages money in the house, you can let her take from her. What? Bet, Kshayisham Fas Bala, if she's the one who's working and he's not. What do you mean? I'm the one who's working at home. He also works a little bit. I work most. Yeah? If you know that she's the one who's working and he's not, so you're allowed to take from her even a big amount. Gimel, Isha Shiyad Matadu Kavarat Sechem. If the woman itself is rich, a person married a rich woman, she was rich from before already. She has a lot of money. So she wants to give her relatives, she wants to give people, she's allowed to give. She doesn't have to ask husband. It's time, a normal case where the husband works and the wife is at home with all the kids. Okay? And she's a regular person, pashut, pshuta. So then, if it's a more than normal amount, you have to ask permission from the husband. Okay. Now, if a woman did a certain aveira, so she went to the rav, what to do? I was telling, what do you mean? You have to do tshuva and you have to give a donation of 1,000 shekels. So she goes home, she tells her husband what the Rav said. He didn't say to give to his organization. He said, it's time she has to give. So, okay. So the husband is obligated to give her that money, to give the tzedakah. Okay? It's not covered that women go around collecting money. It's not covered. Unless it's a place where only women are.
Sometimes it's a ruler, you see the women sitting on the street.
And it's very not covered. But
say no to women.
You shouldn't say no to the women.
Then in, you know, Bless Talks with King George.
You have to educate your children to give tzedakah. So I'll tell you one of the best ways, I'll tell you what I do at least, is whenever someone comes to the door, besides the fact that we give them 10 agorot to take to school and stuff, and we have it in the house, when someone knocks on the door, I get all, oh, Baruch Hashem, we have a mitzvah! I go find something, mi rotze latet? They all, ani, yofi, they all fight who wants to give, they all give. They're all very happy, you get a bracha from the person who's collecting, it's a big thing also. Go, you go on. So we have to educate our children. They do not to be a miser. Mm-hmm.
Miser. Did
you say anything about giving with a smile? Of course, it says. Soon we'll see more that if someone gives the. It says if someone gives without, Stam gives tzedakah without a happy face, he gets 6 brachas. If someone does also with a happy face, he gets 11 brachas. It's worth it, huh? worth it.
Is that like Kevin Shimon's vehicle here?
Yeah.
And I gave this guy asked me, he said he can't, having problems with the rim, they want to pick him out. So I gave like a few spots, and he wrote down my name, said he's out.
How does he look?
An older man.
How does he dress?
Mm-hmm.
I know them all. They're all Kabua people there.
Okay.
No, they're good people. Tzadikim.
He asked me. He didn't give me I didn't tell him he wanted my name. So.
Tzadik, man, what's done for you? Okay. Now, if you want to collect, now, by the way, kids should not go collecting money. Okay?
Under 13?
Even over 13. Unless, but children.
You don't have to get to that. The kids collect for, playing tickets.
Why not
to
give them? You want to go to Uma?
You
don't have to give. Fine, you don't have to give.
You don't have to.
I need to get a ticket. I need a ticket to go back home.
Yeah, they buy one-way tickets. And they want to collect to go back. It's better than taking a debt on your head. Kabbalat Ruach Kogel, or Madame Bikir Kassam Bopi Di Kosher, or the Sela Pior Kham, or the Kabbalat Ruach Kogel, or the Torah, or the Shabbat, or the Nevi, or the Shalaviv, Shui Aresh Aresh Amaim. Taking money from people Pokeol, they don't keep the Torah mitzvahs, or people do keep the Torah mitzvahs, but they earn their money in a dishonest way. Okay? You can't do it unless you ask a rabbi if you can take that money. Sada? Now, but if someone comes and wants to donate money for building a Talmud Torah, right? Building a shul, building a place to learn, and he doesn't keep Shabbos, okay? I don't know if he works on Shabbos, could be different. He doesn't keep Shabbos. Works on Shabbos, it could be he can't take any money. He doesn't keep Shabbos. He wants to give the Yunishma to his father. His father was a big time chacham, but he went off. He let it take money.
Now, how would you handle that if you're doing a bulk mailing, where you don't know the people? You're just sending out. You got a name from a mailing list.
You ask a rabbi what to do. I tell you a story of Shimon Teichner. He was teaching the yeshiva here, the Kutei Moran, in Hebrew. So he said that once he went to Canada to collect money for a certain yeshiva. He was a rabbin. So he was collecting, he was very successful. And then they told him, there's a guy here, he owns a store, he sells clothing for celebrities and a very fancy stuff, whatever, yeah. He wants to donate also. So you should go. He likes the Torah. He's not religious, but he likes. So Avtachi went to meet him. He said, "Rav, I want to give you money, but I my stores work on Shabbos. I make my money also on Shabbos." So the Rav told him, "I'm not going to take money from you because you work on Shabbos. Your stores, the money is not kosher. But I'll tell you a story. I'll give you a mashal. It's a mashal from the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, a guy had a barrel of wine. Yeah, let's say he had 10 gallons in there, okay? And he had 6 faucets. He had a faucet here, and a faucet here. He put 6 cups at once, like those Shabbos things that you pour the wine and stuff out. Good. Now he decided, it's not enough wine here. I have to put another faucet. He put another faucet. Did he increase the wine? No. He made the other things come out less. That's all he did. So he told the person that's panasa. Whatever you work, you can get the same money. So you think you're going to work on Shabbos, you make more money? Happy Tom. You should keep Shabbos. He made a deal with him. Let's try. Do 1 week. He told him, but listen, I work with celebrities. That's when they come on Saturday and Sunday. That's their weekend. They come on the weekend to make their buys and stuff. So he told him, listen, do it once. Let's see. Do one Shabbos and make a ma'azan, nechomim a ma'azan at the end of the week to see the
accounting
and see if you earned or you lost. So I said, fine, I'll do it. And he told his once I'll do it. And go to shul and fine. So he kept Shabbos once. He told his workers, come back on Sunday. Shabbos is off from Friday afternoon until Sunday morning, we're closed. We're all very happy, Yofi. And the next week, before Friday, he did an accounting, and he saw that it was the same amount of money. So he kept it another week, and another week, and he started going to shul, and learning Torah, and keeping Torah, mitzvot. And he donated a lot of money afterwards. The Torah causes, but yeah, that's the story that you got about tzedakah. Yeah, you gotta give tzedakah to a goy. You should give tzedakah to a goy. Mipnei darkei shalom. The famous story was of Shlomo Karlebach. His daughter says the story that once he was walking in the street in New York on Shabbos, going home from shul with his talis, and the shvatza comes over to him with a gun. He tells him, "Give me your money, boy." Right? He goes, okay. He gives him a big hug. "Oh, my holy brother, you know, I want to give you. You know, we're Jews. We don't carry on this. See, this is my address. I know you need the money. Come to my house after Shabbat. I'll give you." And he came. Without the gun. He gave him some money. He was very happy. Zohar says a story. Anyways, yeah. So why is there a mitzvah to give the goyim? Pei darkei shalom. Not that you go now and go look for goyish causes to give them, but if a goy, a private goy, you know he's needy. So you never know where he's going to come back to you. Also, there's all kinds of stories where.
But does that exclude idolatry? I mean,
yeah, of course not. Chas v'shalom to give it for their causes. No. I'm talking about anim of goy.
I know, but I'm saying like if they're a religion that is idolatry.
For their food, they need to eat. What?
And for cancer research.
For what?
For cancer research or something like that.
I don't know if it's considered tzedakah. Maybe it's a good cause to give, but it's not like a tzedakah.
I don't remember which rav it was.
Tzedakah is to Jews. Mitzvah tzedakah. What do you say?
I don't remember which rav it was, but the story back from a couple of centuries ago, there was a little goyish bakery that also the Jews bought from.
It's a Maharal, I think it was.
And there was the baker's son was one who went around town with his plaque of bread with stickers selling rolls. And one day the Rav sees him sitting down in the corner, broken, crying. He says, "What happened to you? What's the matter?" "So, you know, my father, my mother died, and my father married another woman. She's nasty to me, and if I have to sell this whole batch of rolls every day, bring home the money, otherwise it's getting up one potato to eat, I get beaten. And today, after I sold everything, somebody stole the money from me, beat me up, stole the money. Now that he beat me, if I go home now, I'll get beaten by my stepmother again, and won't even get my one potato." So the mother asked him, "How much was taken from you?" "Oh, kind of copicking or something like that." He took it out of his wallet. "You know, here, go home, it'll be okay." The kid was very happy. "Thank you very much." And went. Years later, last day of Pesach,
it's a Maharal, yeah.
This young man comes to the Maharal. Says, "Listen, you once saved my life. I'm now going to save the life of you and your entire community. Today's the last day of your Passover holiday. The next day, you people are going to come to my father's bakery to buy bread, because you haven't been able to make your own bread yet, just like every year. Don't do it. Find an excuse not to buy bread this year on this day, because it's all poisoned." He made a deal with the Catholic priest, to poison the bread that you guys are going to eat. And you're all going to die if you eat that bread. "Thank you, but don't let anybody hurt from me, or they'll kill me." "Okay, fine, but thank you very much. I'll make sure that they never heard that."
No, what did he do?
So what did he do? He announced in the tefillah, Mincha tefillah, "People, sorry, we made a mistake in the dates. Today's the seventh day, not the eighth day. You know, Chusar, they have 8 days. We have another day of Pesach coming up. You can't have bread for another day." So no one went out about it. It was a fake. But you might, well, only way you can figure out this.
No one knew it was fake.
No one knew it was fake. Everybody, they trusted their Rav. Okay, you made a mistake. We're going to fix the mistake and take another day of Pesach. Like, so what? Okay. And so he didn't eat bread. No one bought the bread, and then the baker and the carver said, what's going on here? The Rav is not an idiot. It can't be that he really made that mistake. And they came to complain to him. You ruined the poor baker's parnassah by telling people this lie that they said, oh, really? Well, why do you have the police invite me to the court and accuse me in court of doing that? Okay. Fine. They took him to the court. They have to pay something to the court. After the extended day to take him to court. And he said, listen, this, a Jew, ruined, make me bankrupt because he told people lies they're not going to buy bread. He made hundreds of loaves for them and it's all has to go to waste. And the rabbi said, well, I got a message from Shemaim that they poisoned the bread to kill us all. Okay? And he left it like that. The judge says, you got a message from mine. How am I supposed to prove that or disprove it? He says, have the baker and the pastor eat a piece of the bread. Let's see what happens. Baker and pastor looked at each other and says, we'll pass.
Shouldn't they give it to a dog or something?
I don't mean to give it to a dog, just they admit it, but they broke it and admitted to the judge that that's what their plan was. And the judge says, okay, you guys keep quiet and, you know, the Jew is free.
So you see, yeah, so you see that it was worth it to give
such a the life of the entire community.
Yeah, the reason. Top. Mr. So tomorrow we'll see more.
You
what?
Not to accept charity from somebody that doesn't keep Shabbos or the mitzvahs. How would it go?
Yeah, unless you ask a Rav. Ask a Rav if you could take. Not simply not, but ask a Rav. The person, depends. If he works on Shabbos, doesn't work on. If his money is kosher, he just doesn't keep Shabbos. Yeah, ask a Rav. Every situation.
You get an inheritance. Waiting for somebody else, they don't keep Shabbat.
It's yours.
Inheritance of
something else.
It's a present.
It's yours.
But yeah, I think that somebody who doesn't keep Shabbat and has unkosher money, you could probably rate it to what the halacha is if you can accept tzedakah from a goy.
You like tzedakah from
a goy. You can double, but you use it, what we learned was use it for heating and travel.
Travel, toilet paper,
yeah, things like that. Or as it was in language when the pasuk was made for hasakah v'susim.
Yeah, but Yerusha, it's not tzedakah.
Yerusha is yours. But tzedakah, that's
the way. His parents die, automatically it's his. Look at where it came from.
Not a direct family member, but a family member. Just gives you a gift.
Not tzedakah.
It is not tzedakah.
You're allowed to take.
I heard you can bring Jews back to Torah if they give, if they're not religious and they're secular, they turn their heart to Hashem and maybe they'll come back. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Rav always didn't tell us not to take from people who don't keep, not religious. So.